All right, turn over to Philippians 3, verse 3. And I'm going to close up with this one here. And I'm really sharing kind of a piggyback on top of what you shared at the beginning, Nathan, which is, why was I apprehended? It says here in verse 3, we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. I want to talk to you about this first principle, which is our tendency to have misplaced confidence. If I'm going to really understand why Christ apprehended me, something happened in Paul's life that moved him away from a misplaced confidence into something totally different, which we'll read about in just a few moments here. We understand that his confidence was in his religious life. He says in verse 5, I was circumcised on the eighth day. And in verse 6, he said, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. I mean, there was hardly anybody more zealous than Paul. And he said, as far as righteousness under the law goes, I was blameless. I mean, this guy was really putting forth his efforts, but it was confidence in the flesh, confidence in his own ability to have righteousness before God. I'm not talking about religious confidence right now. I'm talking about the kind of confidence that men have that can still be misplaced. We often look at things like, how much money can I make? You know, how much hair do I have? You know, what kind of a job do I have? What kind of prestige do I have? And we get caught up in this philosophy of the world that pushes us into this mold that says you got to have confidence in these things to really be a man. And I'll tell you what, you can waste your life pursuing those confidences. And Paul, in a sense, was doing that. He said, I have every reason to be confident in my flesh, to have confidence in these things, and I really applied myself to it. But he goes on to say something beyond this. Whatever was gained to me, in verse 7, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for something. What did he call it here? The sake of Christ. See, at some point in our life, I believe every one of us has to come to this point where we see this line that we're willing to cross that says, I'm going to count everything else loss for the sake of this one thing, for Christ. Whether the world is pushing me into a mold, whether it's a religious mold or an economic mold or a talent mold or a good looks mold, whatever it is that I think I should be having confidence in, I want to come to that place in my heart where I say, this is nothing anymore. I'm not going to spend my life on it. I'm not going to waste my time worrying about it. I'm not even going to pursue it. I want to know Christ. Right. And I think that God, in our journeys as men, He brings every one of us to that place. But are we afraid of the abyss that looks in front of us and says, step across this line. Don't put your confidence back there anymore. Don't spend your life pouring it into these things that really don't matter. Look out here. And Paul came to that place in his heart where he said, what I consider gain for me, gain, I'm counting it as loss. Some of us never move beyond the reason I have confidence in the flesh. Like Paul said at the very beginning, I myself have reason for the confidence in the flesh. Some of us never move beyond that position in our heart. We get constant distraction, constantly pursuing those things that we think will build our confidence. And we're let down because it's like a black hole. You can never fill it. Or we struggle with inadequacy because we never attain it. That's good. You know, we think, well, if I have this, I'll have confidence. I'll have prestige. I'll feel good about myself. and we never attain it, so we begin to feel inadequate. And so Paul was saying, look, whatever gain I had, whatever I could look at in my flesh and say, I'm pretty good at these things, I'm going to count it all as loss for the sake of Christ. And so to do that, you have to begin to value Christ and what He offers more than any confidence you can get from the flesh. Amen. And see, this is where we struggle as men. I think sometimes men in the world today are feeling like it's a sissy to be a man of God. It's a sissy to lift your hands and surrender to Jesus Christ. It's a sissy to worship Him. It's a sissy to love Jesus. It's a sissy to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, I love that t-shirt. I don't have one, but it's kind of neat. It says, real men love Jesus. Real men have come to this place where they realize, you know what, I can spin my wheels and spend my entire life building confidence in the things of this world, or I can count it as lost for the sake of knowing Christ. And if you're willing to take that step, you can actually see the value system change in your life. And that's what happened to Paul. He says, these things, I'm going to count them as dung. They used to be things that he held very dear. He counted them as gain at one point. Now he's saying, they're like dung to me. His value system changed. Something happened in his heart that said, I value this thing with Christ greater than anything else I can accomplish on my own. So the two decisions that we have to make, I think, are we willing to count my current confidence or what I'm trying to do to accomplish confidence or gain confidence, can I really count it as dung in comparison? And the second decision that we've got to make is my relationship with Christ of greater value than anything this world has to offer me? And when you can make that decision, then the direction of your life will change. Look what Paul said after he did this. Verse 7. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. See, that was a decision. I'm counting it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's a decision. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish in order to gain Christ. See, the decision came. He made a decision to say, I'm counting all this as loss. We want to have the prize in our hand before we'll make that decision. He said, no, make the decision, then you'll have the prize. And Paul counted these things as loss because he wanted to have this thing for Jesus, to know Him, to gain Him for the sake of Christ. And then he said in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. How many of you want to know the power of the resurrection of Christ in your life? It comes by having that as your value system. We as men have to realize there's something about this relation to Christ that is more valuable than anything else I can be as a man, than anything else I can pursue as a man, than anything else I can use in this life to boost my self-confidence. That's good. This relationship with Christ is more valuable to me, and I want to move forward in that. He also said, I want to share in His sufferings. How many want that? Hey, there's something, like Nathan was just saying, there's something good that comes out of this. Becoming like Him in His death, that by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. You see, Paul's motivation to press in, to press on, to press forward, to go after Christ was based upon these decisions that he made. I'm taking everything that was gained to me, I'm counting it as dung because I want Christ. I want to know Him. I want to gain Him. And that became his pursuit. If you want to get yourself out of a rut, start looking at what is it that I'm building my confidence in? What is it that I feel is going to build my confidence, boost my confidence, make me a confident man? And say, Lord, I want to count this as dung compared to the excellency of knowing you. And it motivated Paul to press in. And he says in verse 12, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. That right there is, to me, one of the most amazing scriptures in the Bible. That you come to this place in your life where you cross that line that says, you know what? Jesus didn't just save me to give me the blessings of heaven. I'm not just saved because my sins are forgiven. He saved me for a reason. I want to apprehend, I want to grasp, understand why He apprehended me. Jesus, why did you reach down in my life when I was 19 years old or 20 or 18 or 6 or however old you were? Why did you reach into my life? Why did you save me? Why did you call me to yourself? And Paul understood that there was a calling or a destiny or a purpose in his life that only has meaning when it's centered around Christ and His purposes. And I can spend my life going after everything else in this world that I think builds my confidence, but I can, in the same point, miss why He apprehended me. That's my question, Lord. Why did you apprehend me? Why did you save me? Why did you put a call upon my life? And am I pursuing that? Paul said, I want to apprehend why He apprehended me. A couple other versions say this. I want to come to the knowledge of that for which I was made the servant of Christ Jesus. Another version said, I want to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And then Paul said, brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. You talk about a man with a purposeful life. He said, one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. So, I think that Paul is giving us here in this portion of Scripture, I don't want to call it a formula, but a very simple understanding of how do I get my life moving forward. And you got to look at your value system. You got to look at where your confidence lies. What am I building my life for? And if I come to that place where I'm saying, Lord, I just want to apprehend why you apprehended me. Why am I still here? Why am I on this planet? Why am I taking up air? You saved me for a reason. And I don't want to get caught up in the confidence of the flesh. Thank you for all the things. Thank you for how good looking I am. Thank you for... But I don't want to put my confidence there. I want it to be in you, Lord. So change my value system. So I guess with that, we're going to close this evening. And anybody have any comments or things, maybe an insight or something you'd like to share?
I've never heard it said like that. I like the way you say the value system you have. I've never heard it put like that.
Right.
That sure brings clarity.
Well, you think about it. I mean, he said, what was gain, I count as loss. That's a value system.
Yeah.
Gain, he said, I had a lot to put confidence in, but I'm laying it aside because I want this instead. And until you come to that place in your life where you're saying, I'm ready to make that decision, you'll always struggle because we want to have that confidence.
Right.
And we got to be willing to take the risk that if I lay that aside and count this as more valuable and take that step across the line, I'm going to step right into why He apprehended me. And I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to continue to press toward that because I want that more than anything. Okay, Dave.
The one thing I've heard throughout everything tonight was just an encouragement for us to become men of God. Because like Kirk's saying, the world just sissifies that whole thing where that's just, you know, that's not what really we're all about. But to me, there's a verse in the Bible that's always been really ominous to me. And it's that my spirit will not always strive with you. And I'm like, oh God, I hope I never get to that point. You know, have patience with me, please. But I was thinking about that tonight as we've been encouraged to, you know, what Bill has shared with us and what Rayo told us, just to, you know, I'm not going to strive with you about that, you know, just keep pressing in. And I was thinking that of the parable, the talents, and the, you know, God gave the guy 10 and 5 and, or 5 and 2 and 1. And there's the guy that just didn't do anything, whether it was, you know, money, or I think it's interesting that's called a talent because God gives us all talents. And the guy just couldn't be bothered to invest in the kingdom, whether it was his money or his abilities. It wasn't a priority for him. And in the end, God took it and gave it to somebody else because his plan is going to happen with or without us. You know, if I choose to walk away from God, he's not going to go, drats, what am I going to do now? Who's going to fulfill that call? You know, there's a backup. But he wants us to choose him. My wife and I were talking this afternoon before I left about what a privilege it is to be chosen and to be able to follow him and serve him. You know, it could, but for the grace of God, you know, we could be out there still in darkness, but we want to live up to that potential and that call. Not that we're anybody, but he has given us something. And are we going to choose to invest in the kingdom or let him take it and give it to somebody who will? Because it will, his will is going to get done one way or another. But let it be through me.
Amen. Praise God. Good word.
Anybody else have a comment or insight? Yeah. Well, just so it's recorded.
It was nothing huge, but I liked what Nathan was saying about the soil. How sometimes, you know, the soil. This is what I kind of grabbed from it, that it's smelly sometimes, but that's when it's its best. You know, a garden produces its best vegetables when it smells like poop. And I think sometimes in the church, it's great when, you know, like what Kurt was saying, when we can get dirty with some guys, you know, we can learn a lot. We can see them when they're not on their Sunday best. And I think that's just such a cool thing that we should be grasping hold of, is just being in each other's lives apart from Sunday and seeing each other at their worst point.